This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Now welcome in Joe Healy, National College Baseball writer and SEC Extra on D1Baseball.com joining us. Joe, how the heck you been doing, man?
Not too bad. Can't complain. We're getting down to the fun part of the season. Every game matters, and that's why we do this, is to get to this part of the season and kind of watch it all unfold.
Yeah, thankfully for us, LSU baseball back home this weekend. They had a tough go at it at College Station last weekend. A&M ends up prevailing in some really tightly contested matchups where pitching was looked at like it was at a premium, especially those early games.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of an interesting turn of events considering, you know, A&M had kind of, the way they had gotten back into position to be a postseason team is by scoring a bunch of runs, by their offense had kind of come alive. The weekend rotation had maybe started to fall back a little bit, but they really pitched it well. And honestly, it was just the fact that, you know, Anthony Ianson was better than Justin Lampkin on the one day that allowed LSU to get a game out of the series. And so it was disappointing for LSU to not come away with that series for sure. And I think, you know, I've been asked a little bit about, you know, what I think happened there. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, LSU and their struggles with left-handed pitching, which has been a consistent thing so far throughout the season. And I don't have any big picture. Concerns about LSU that I didn't already have. I just think it's one of those teams. Then there are these every year that just, you know, struggle with left-handed pitching because of the way, because of the way their lineup construction is, and that's just kind of, one of their shortcomings this year.
Joe, looking ahead to the Arkansas series, you brought up left-handed pitching, and they're going to see a pretty darn good one with Zach Ruth, the ECU transfer who's been really good for Arkansas this season, the Razorbacks ace, and, you know, he had his best performance of the season this past weekend against Texas. He was named the SEC co-pitcher of the week with Ianson, throws 8 scoreless innings against that Longhorn offense, allows 2 hits and strikes out 12. But I want to get your kind of scouting report of Zach Ruth ahead of this matchup against LSU.
Yeah, you look at the numbers on the stuff, and it's a fastball that can get up into the mid-90s, and so you think, okay, big swing and miss guy, and he does get a lot of swing and miss. He struck out 92 in 66 innings, but kind of the secret sauce for him is that he's also a guy that can get soft contact, so he doesn't have to just blow hitters away, and a lot of pitchers that rely on the strikeout pitch, you know, also have games where their pitch counts get elevated because they're going to 2-2 and 3-2 counts consistently. Well, you know, Root's a guy that, yes, he can strike guys out, but really when he's pitching well, he's sinking that fastball to where he's getting guys to pound it into the ground early in counts. And okay, if he gets a count that runs deep, he does have the stuff to come back and put a hitter away with a strikeout. But when he's really, really cruising, and I think we saw this a little bit last weekend where, yes, he struck out a bunch of guys against Texas, but also he went 8 innings because his pitch count was only 99 at the end of 8 innings. And so that tells you he was getting a lot of outs early in the count. So it's one of those deals where if you're LSU, you don't really necessarily want to run deep counts because Root does have the varied arsenal that can make it tough to hit with 2 strikes. But on the other hand, if you're aggressive early in the count, you're kind of playing into his hand because there's a good chance you're going to pound the ball into the ground. And when you've got a pitcher that kind of makes it difficult to decide how you want to attack him, that's what makes for a special pitcher, and Root's definitely that.
looking at the Hogs offense, definitely scary with all these stats from batting average, home runs, RBI. Just break down this Razorbacks lineup and what the Tigers pitching's in store for this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be tough, especially because it looked like they came alive last weekend. There were those 3 weeks in a row when Arkansas lost series, they had started to backslide a little bit. And I never thought they were going to backslide to being a mediocre offense necessarily. But it was like, okay, maybe there is a scouting report out there that has gotten around that is an effective way to shut down this lineup. And maybe there's some of that that's still true. I think we saw last weekend that, oh, no, this is still the same lineup it's always been. They maybe just had a few weeks where things didn't go their way. But the thing that sticks out to me is they do have some star power. Vahiva Aloy is probably in the conversation right now to be SEC Player of the Year. But more than that, it's just that, you know, they can beat you. They could truly beat you 1-9 in their lineup. And if it's not the Aloy brothers, it's Charles Davalon, who's a speed power guy. It's Logan Maxwell, who's one of the best pure hitters in college baseball. It's Brent Iredale, an Australian junior college transfer who has crazy pop in his bat. I mean, they're dangerous all the way up and down, and they don't run a ton. So this is not what I'm getting at with this, but they're also a little more athletic than Arkansas has been. Arkansas has tended to be, even when they're really good offensively, tended to be kind of station to station, depending on the home run. They hit a lot of home runs as a group, but this year they can make some things happen on the bases, not even so much with the stolen base, but going first to third on a single, scoring from second on a single, stretching things from a single into a double, et cetera. So it's also a team you have to be on your game defensively, or they're going to take advantage of every little free base.
So, Joe, I'm looking at it. Obviously, you brought up the defense, but also if you just look at conference splits, they're number one in batting average at 3.07. They're number three in team ERA at 4.47. We're talking with Glenn West, the senior writer for Go247 Sports, earlier on in the show, and he called this like the big litmus test for this LSU team right before, you know, the end of the season and then Hoover and then the postseason regional play. Is this the most complete team in the SEC when you look at Arkansas?
Yeah, I think so. Even when they had lost a few series in a row, I was still pretty steadfast in Arkansas's. When Arkansas is playing its game, it's the best team I've seen this year. I saw them in person against Georgia, you know, 3-4 weeks ago now, and they lost that series. And I came out of it thinking absolutely that Arkansas was the better team. Georgia just happened to get two more clutch hits than they did on the weekend, and so they lost 2 one-run games, and that was all it was. So, you know, I think we're starting to see with last weekend, Arkansas maybe wake up a little bit. I would also agree with Glenn in this regard that, you know, I've kind of thought of LSU as being on a similar plane with Arkansas in terms of, you know, quality. You know, it's Texas, Arkansas, LSU. I kind of, and maybe Tennessee has fallen off a little bit, but those three teams I've been consistent about kind of being the upper crust in the SEC. And I'm not saying a series loss here would mean LSU isn't in that group, but it is an opportunity to kind of reiterate, as people are maybe starting to question, at least offensively, LSU at this point, it is an opportunity for LSU to kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit, especially with it being a home series. You anticipate it being just an absolutely crazy crowd for this series, given the magnitude of it. And so I would agree that it is a big opportunity for LSU to prove that they are right up there with Arkansas in terms of teams that should be considered national title contenders when it's all said and done.
Some of the big names in this LSU batting lineup have, you know, struggled, especially SEC play on the road. I guess that should be expected a little, but right now for me, one of those guys, just Stephen Milam, seems to be having a tough time at the plate, and wondering, can hopefully this series at home this weekend kind of snap him and maybe some of those other Tiger bats out the rut, even though this Hogs team is definitely going to be a fearsome foe Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, that's been, you know, and I don't have any really great necessarily explanations for why Stephen Milam has, especially in SEC play, has struggled to the extent he has, especially just because some of the peripheral numbers are kind of fine. It's not like he's striking out a ton, right? Like, it'd be one thing if you had led the team in strikeouts and it's like, okay, well, he's swinging and missing a lot, but he's not doing that. He's still showing some pop. I mean, he's tied for the team lead in home runs in SEC play. That's not really his, I mean, he has some pop, but that's not really what you look at him for. So I don't really have a great explanation. Maybe some of it's just batted ball luck, honestly. Like, that can happen where, for whatever reason, in a relatively small sample of 24 games, maybe he's just hit a bunch of line drive outs. I don't know. I'm not watching every single pitch of every game, so I couldn't necessarily tell you. But I think one thing that, in general, about this LSU lineup, I think that has been noticeable is that, I think I've said on your air before, it's just a lineup that outside of Jared Jones doesn't have that that guy who every time he comes to the plate, the risk of the ball leaving the yard is in play. They obviously have plenty of guys who can do that. But Jared Jones is the only one where it's like, look, if he decides he wants to hit the ball out of the yard here, like there's a pretty good chance he's going to do it. And I think not just LSU, but every team in the SEC had got kind of accustomed to being able to do that the last couple of years. Well, I'm still working on talking to coaches and figuring it all out, but the home run is just not there in the SEC like it has been in the past. You know, last year there were six teams that hit over 100 home runs. This year, I think at most we're going to get four in the SEC, and that's a little bit of a stretch. It might be three in the SEC. And so the ball's just not flying this year the way it has been. And so I think a lot of lineups got accustomed to being able to, hey, let's just work a couple walks, put a couple guys on, and then let's have a guy swing for the fences and see if we can get a ball up in a jet stream. That's not really an effective strategy this year because the ball is just not carrying. And so I don't know if that's, you know, specific to LSU or it's just in general, but I do think that's something that's happening there is you know, last couple of years, it felt like you've been able to miss hit a ball and still get it out of the park. Not so much this season. And I think there are some lineup adjustments being made across the league to deal with the fact that they can't just get the 3-run homer almost whenever they want it.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Joe, looking a little bit ahead to the SEC tournament in Hoover, you know, Steve and I did a little bit of research into it. I, you know, was misinformed. I didn't realize that they were changing the format to a 16-team tournament. I know that in years past, it's been like the 12 teams, and then the first day was single elimination, and then it moved into a double elimination bracket. But your thoughts on Hoover, I know we're a couple weeks out from it, but your thoughts on the new tournament in Hoover, all 16 teams get invited, and then, you know, the top four seeds get a double bye, and I know LSU's currently in that number, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I like it from the standpoint of it means more games are going to matter, because one of the big issues with not just Hoover, but all major, you know, major conferences that are playing in the double elimination format is there's a whole lot of teams that already have hosts wrapped up or at least already have a postseason spot wrapped up. And so what's the motivation to really push your pitching, especially if you get in the loser's bracket? And so you're going to have to win extra games to get out of the loser's bracket. There's just not a lot of motivation to really push the pedal to the metal, because do you really want to play five games in 5 days right before regionals? Like, no, probably not. So it just seemed like there were a lot of games in Hoover where, you know, you're pitching guys that really aren't going to be part of it in the postseason, or you're having guys wear it on the mound because you don't anticipate being pieces that you're not worried about pitch counts with certain guys, or you're shifting your lineup around to give guys rest. And I think some of that will still happen, but I think less so because it's single elimination. You know that you're not at risk of getting, especially if you're one of the higher seeds, you're not going to get trapped in Hoover for an extra week just because you lost a game and had to come through the loser's bracket. So I like it from that standpoint. I will be interested to see what it does to the crowds because, you know, if you're a team that knows your team is going to play in a regional somewhere and you're already kind of budgeting both in terms of your time and your money to go to a regional or whatever, are you really going to spend the money to go to Hoover to see maybe one game? You know, if you're a Bama fan living in Alabama, that's probably not a big deal. But are you going to come from Baton Rouge or somewhere else in Louisiana to do that, to see LSU? Some will, but others probably won't. And so I don't know that it'll tank attendance. I'm not anticipating that. But I do wonder if it'll affect some of the atmospheres until maybe the final weekend when we get to semis and finals and people can use the weekend to come. But I'll kind of be watching that throughout the week.
We talked a lot about the LSU-Arkansas matchup. It's going to be a top 10 showdown at Alec Box Stadium. What other of these games this weekend in the SEC really grab your attention? I know I'm seeing Georgia-Alabama, even Vandy-Tennessee kind of seem interesting.
Yeah, Vanderbilt and Tennessee is a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be if you'd asked me like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Because Tennessee was playing great. They were number one at some point. Vanderbilt was fine, but they just, you know, they were kind of the same Vanderbilt they've been the last few years, which is good, not great. Well, all of a sudden, Vanderbilt's swinging the bats better. Vanderbilt suddenly has one of the, I don't want to say suddenly, because they're always known for pitching, but the guys in their rotation are not famous like a lot of the previous Vanderbilt rotations have been, but they've been very, very good. They have, you know, one of the handful of the best rotations in the conference. And Tennessee just isn't the same. Like, there's a, you know, they're really good when Liam Doyle's in the mound, because, of course, because he's the, maybe the best pitcher in the country. But the days when somebody else pitches, it's not just that they don't get as good a pitching performance. Oh, that's part of it. But they just don't seem to have as much juice when somebody else is on the mound. Like, you know, they're just, they're kind of a little bit flat, if you will. And I think that spills over to every part of their game. And then you can nitpick some other stuff. They're not as good defensively as they've been. Their bullpen's not as deep as it's been. Their lineup doesn't have a Christian Moore and a Blake Burke, those really scary hitters like I talked about with LSU. They just don't necessarily have those guys where you have to, you know, game plan the entire game around avoiding them. So it's just been a little bit different for them. And this is the first time in a while for a team coached by Tony Vitello in Knoxville that they've had to kind of fight through this adversity. And so this series is in Knoxville. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Tennessee do something like what Arkansas did last weekend, where it's like, oh, okay, this team is fine. They just kind of woke up. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Vanderbilt goes in there and wins this series, because clearly this Tennessee team, at least right now, is not anywhere close to on par with what they've been the last couple of years.
Joe, before we let you run, LSU's 15-9 in SEC play, and you know, D1 Baseball released their most recent field of 64 projection, and they had LSU as the 4 seed. I just want to get your thoughts on potentially the magic number for them to get that top 8 national seed and have the home road to Omaha. You know, I've heard different numbers. We talked with Todd Walker about it. He said like maybe 19, 20 is really safe. But at the same time, you know, do SEC tournament wins really count towards that number as well? So I want to get your thoughts on LSU and their path towards getting a top 8 national seed.
Yeah, they're in good shape. I would agree with Todd generally that, you know, 20 is really safe. Like, I don't know that we've ever seen a 20-win SEC team not be a top 8. Now, don't quote me on that. I don't know that, but that's just my hunch. And 19, you'd feel pretty good about it. But it is a moving target just because it also matters what other people do. To me, 18 gets you in the conversation. 19, you feel really good. 20, you're basically a lock. And when it comes to Hoover, my philosophy that I think has been proven out by the way that the committee puts the field together is that conference tournaments tend to be able to help you. They don't tend to really hurt you. So if LSU, let's say, wins 4 more games in the regular season, they're 19-11 going to Hoover, and you know they go 0-1 and they're gone. If they were in pole position to be a national seed going into that week, it would be hard to imagine them getting leapt over by somebody else based on conference tournament week. Now, again, if it's another SEC team that comes up and gets it, maybe that's one thing. But if you get the work done in the regular season, you should feel pretty good about it. The garnish is kind of what you do in Hoover.
Keep up with Joe Healy's work at D1Baseball.com. Joe, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us. Just 2 weekends left in SEC regular season, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Always happy to join you.
Thanks, Joe.
National College Baseball writer and SEC extra on D1Baseball.com. You can also follow my Twitter at JoeHealyD1.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.